When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Call it a big homecoming. Adam and Aaron Nee, they were here at South by Southwest 16 years ago with their movie, The Last Romantic, which jump-started their career. And now they're back with their first big studio movie, Paramount's The Lost City, starring Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, Daniel Radcliffe, Brad Pitt, who isn't in this movie? And the Nees are here with us today on Crew Call. Guys, this is a homecoming of sorts, coming down to South By, because you were here back in 2006 with The Last Romantic?
That's right. Yeah, Aaron and I were wee young men, and we had basically pulled together about $18,000 and shot a movie on SD video cameras around New York City with friends, stealing every single location, and made this tiny little movie about a poet who hadn't written any poetry called The Last Romantic. And so our first time to South by Southwest was as like the most indie guys you could possibly be. So there is something very wild and fun and beautiful about coming back now with this huge, epic, fun movie that was made for a little more than $18,000.
Now, tell me about how your lives as filmmakers changed after South By, because that's a huge debut.
Yeah, it's really quickly coming off of that South By premiere, we started getting attention from, we got representation, we had the opportunities to start getting invited into those generals, into those things that starts introducing you to the to the film industry. And we were pretty naive at the time too, and just didn't know how to capitalize on that. What does it mean? What's important? Where your attention should go. And that it was a super valuable learning experience for just even discovering what it means to suddenly be in the mix.
It was like movie college. You know, it was an amazing opportunity, and we ended up moving out to LA after that, but it was really just the start of us kind of figuring this whole thing out.
Yeah.
But tell me about what happened. You went on to make Band of Robbers, but were you doing other things during that time? Were you writing on a number of feature scripts?
We did so much in that time. We were always very scrappy and always working really hard, making our own stuff. So we would shoot a web series that was on Comedy Central or Funny or Die, or we shot a spec pilot that we sold to Comedy Central and developed. And then when that didn't go, we sold them another pilot. And we had a movie in development for a long time.
Music videos. We were developing a feature, and actually a couple of different ones. And Band of Robbers was in that mix, and that's the one where things came together and it happened, and became our next film.
So He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Did that come? Did you guys get attached to that way before The Lost City?
That's right. Yeah, He-Man's a wild one. It was, we had somehow had this amazing opportunity to pitch on the Bumblebee movie, the Transformers film. And so we felt like we had this kind of rare window post Band of Robbers where people would kind of listen, and we could sort of say, here's who we are. And so Aaron is an incredible visual effects artist, and we decided, let's just make a Bumblebee short to try to impress them and show them what we can do. And so we put together this film in like a day. We shot it overnight with Aaron's daughter and a CG bumblebee that Aaron made over the next week. And then we cut this thing and showed it to Paramount. And it just kind of made this huge impression to where we were suddenly actually in the mix for the movie. And out of that came many things that eventually led to this opportunity for Masters of the Universe, where Sony was like, hey, what would you guys do with the He-Man movie? And yeah, it was kind of crazy and surreal, but it really came from this short film more than anything that we did pitching for Bumblebee.
So when you sat down with Sony, and we're going to get to The Lost City, but when you sat down with Sony, were you showing off your Bumblebee VFX reel as a demo?
That Bumblebee short kind of became like something that sort of like within the industry went viral. And so it started spreading around and we started getting invited into the mix on things that we would normally not be in the mix on. And so we got asked, hey, what's your take on Masters of the Universe? And we came in and were just like, this is what Masters of the Universe meant to us as kids. This is what we would want it to feel like. The color, the vibrance, the fun, the holding on to the really wacky, but also like something that touches into, it taps into that very basic child desire to be empowered. They really liked our take on it, and we got that project going. And it was while we're in that process of building this big, enormous world building movie that Lost City came along as well, and we had to figure out how we can balance those two projects.
Tell me about the pitch for that, because when we first reported the story, we said they wowed Paramount executives. I mean, when you go in, do you have a sizzle reel that you've assembled? This is how we think the film would look? Or are you there with illustrations and things?
Our goal is when we go into a meeting like that is as much as possible for the studio to see the movie and watch the movie with us. And so we put together a visual package and walk them through that and tell the story. We just tell the story of the movie with these visuals and take them through that experience.
I think the angle that we came in with that I think was maybe the thing that probably helped us the most was that we really wanted to treat this movie that you could read as a more of a broad comedy, like we were making an Indiana Jones movie. So like incredible cinematography, really be in these exotic locations, make the action count, have real stakes, real tension, and then let those scenes be funny inside of those stakes. And I think that really resonated with them, that we weren't going to just make a something just totally light and without the depth of some of those classics that we grew up on.
Now, at the time that you guys became attached, was Sandra and Channing circling the project? Because that's a whole other layer. Like once you get the studio on board, you need to get the stars on board.
You know, it's really Sandy and Liza Chasen are the reason we got the job. It was, you know, the script came to us and we read it and we were like, this is amazing. But we didn't really think that we were going to probably have a shot at it. And then Sandy and Liza saw Band of Robbers and said they wanted to meet. So it was a Saturday morning. Like we heard this on like a Thursday, met with Sandy and Liza on a Saturday morning. And just kind of, you know, we had like a day to prep for them and just pitch to them exactly like, you know, sometimes when you have no time like that, it really sort of focuses your energy on what you want to talk about in a meeting. So we just said, this is how we would make the movie. Like, this is what we like, this is what we want to change. And this is exactly how we would make it. And by the end of the call, Sandy was like, guys, do you want to do this? It's like, is this something you really want to do? And we were like, you know, it was a mind-blowing moment for Sandra Bullock, who we grew up on, to be like, guys, do you want to do this? And so she brought us with Liza in front of Paramount. So we had a huge endorsement going into the Paramount pitch because we had Sandy saying, I think these guys might have something interesting to say.
And then, so then Channing came along later, and it's funny how you have something where initially it's text on a page and it's this character and and then an actor like Channing steps in and you just can't picture it any other way. Like so like it's so fully the character that this was meant to be. Like Adam said, we wanted to take the audience on a classic adventure where we're going to exotic places and having this adventure. But the spin on it is that it's not Indiana Jones on this adventure. It's a romance novelist and her cover model. This is somebody who both can be hanging from off a tank or scaling a mountain or doing these things, but also absolutely should not be. And Channing just took every one of those moments and was exactly the concept.
Yeah, he's an action star who's hilarious.
Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Where did you shoot and how long was it?
We shot in the Dominican Republic, all over the DR. And we were out there probably about 5 months total. You know, I think we shot about 60 days of production days. And it was a wild experience being out there, being in the actual elements. You know, our first week on the movie, we had this theory that like if we front loaded all of the really difficult exterior stuff, jungle stuff, we could beat hurricane season and also just kind of like get everybody in this like mode of this is the kind of movie. It's like a Werner Herzog comedy. So like week one, we spent like, we were in this jungle stream that we had to hike. You had to hike down this super slippery, crazy staircase into this jungle stream. Day two, we had Channing totally naked with leeches on his body. We had them like day three, we're on this waterfall ledge where you'd have to take a pontoon across this body of water to get to our bathrooms. And then after that, when it felt like, whoa, we just did 3 days in this jungle stream, we put everybody on boats in the ocean for the next 4 days. So it was a wild experience. We were definitely in the elements. And I think that also helps to create this reality and stakes to what, you know, like somebody else might've read and thought, oh, this is just going to be a comedy and we'll shoot it on stages. I think putting it out there in the jungle really gave it this grounded sense of reality.
We wanted the movie to give the audience the experience of getting out of their homes. And that's actually even the story we're telling is Sandy's character is somebody who has kind of cloistered herself away in her cocoon and doesn't feel like there's any life left ahead of her. And she gets kidnapped and forced onto this adventure and sort of ripped back out into life, where she's experiencing all of this adventure she didn't know she had left in her. And that's exactly the experience we want the audience to have.
The now the project was first announced in October 2020. You obviously shot during the COVID era. How was it down in Dominican Republic?
It was challenging. We had you know, we were wearing KN95s in very hot jungle weather. So it was definitely a real challenge for the crew, but you know, we had just such an amazing team of people who were so just invested and committed and excited by the project. And we had such an amazing COVID team to keep everybody safe that we went through the movie with no shutdowns. You know, I think we were one of the only big movies happening at the time that literally had zero shutdowns because there was just such a sacrificial commitment by everybody to just do their best to be safe.
So coming back to He-Man, can you tease us the gist of this? It's so funny. The last time we had He-Man in our heads, a live action version, it was Dolph Lundgren. And it was, you know, I want to say Friendship Pins were in at that point. Madonna was raging on the music charts and everything. It was a whole different era. Can you tell me what your vision is? Is it kind of like the new Dune in that there's a mix of realistic big sets and VFX, or is it very opulent? It's such a fun, I'm going to miss this on the big screen, but Netflix, they've got the coup here in having the film.
Well, you know, you said it with the fun. I mean, that's kind of the big way in, is that for us, it's like, you can't do Masters without it being fun and colorful. And like, it can be big and have big stakes and be a big, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok style movie. But like those movies as well, it has to be able to make fun of itself and be funny, because there's just, you know, you can't have Mechanek and Ram Man and, you know, those guys without being able to laugh.
Is She-Ra in the movie?
I cannot tell you that.
And any more castings outside of He-Man?
No, nothing to report just yet.
Okay. And what is the He-Man timeline? Is that your entire 2022 into 2023?
It's going to be a long process. Yeah, it's a big show, so it's going to take over our lives now. But it'll be fun.
What's your take on theatrical? You know, here's the thing. Before the pandemic, comedies had a hard time at the box office. And I always wondered if Hangover set the bar too high, and then just, that's what I always wondered, because we all like to go into the movies and watch comedy. And then it was pointed out to me, well, comedy today is hybrid. It's Deadpool. It's Get Out. It's comedy laced with another genre, which is very much what this is. Is that your take? Like, if you're going to do funny on the big screen, you got to lace it with another genre nowadays?
I don't know, in terms of like broader like strategy of what it takes to get it in theaters. I know just for us, that's kind of the way we like to approach whatever we're doing. Even Band of Robbers is a smaller film that's really funny. We didn't approach it as we're going to make a comedy. We had this story, and wherever humor could emerge, we just would want to pull it out. And Lost City is similar. It's a really funny movie, but we also had a big adventure story that we wanted to tell. And when we're telling a big adventure story, we're always looking for ways to also bring in laughs and just bring in that fun, so that you widen and broaden out your film. It's not just one thing.
And I'll tell you, as filmmakers, it is so exciting to be a part of a movie that is an only in theaters film, you know, because it's just, you know, you see it, it's just going away more and more. And it does take a certain type of movie to hit that bullseye that a studio will feel good about putting up. And it's such a privilege. And I think this movie is one of those films that you just have to go see it in theaters, because it is so big and fun and epic. And it's just the greatest escape. You know, it's obviously been a tough time for a lot of people for the past couple of years. And this movie is just this amazing escape in the tradition that movies like Indiana Jones and the great movies of the 90s were.
Adam and Aaron Nee, thank you so much. The Nee brothers.
Such a privilege. Yeah. Thank you. It was so nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crew Call podcast on Deadline. I'm your host, Anthony D'Alessandro. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, so you never miss an episode.